A ver, vámonos. From the gaze for 1 second. Well, not exactly 1 second, but momentarily, briefly. So the Mishnah told us that there are a certain amount of tikkios in the Beis HaMikdash every single day, and there is a minimum, according to our Mishnah, of 21 and a maximum of 48. The Gemara said that Rabbi Yehuda had a different opinion, and Rabbi Yehuda had a number of no less than 7 and no more than 16. And Gemara explained that it's all really the same thing. It's just that Rabbi Yehuda counted them as a set, that there's one mitzvah, and the Rabbanon of our Mishnah did not view them as a set, but rather each as independent mitzvahs. So 7 and 21 is just 7 times 3. So it really just depends on how you look at it, and our Mishnah is paskening that each blast is its own mitzvah. But that's what the Mishnah had said, that we have a minimum of 21 and a maximum of 48. And there's someone on to describe how exactly that works, so let's just chazer very quickly. On a typical day, the phrase that the Mishnah uses, which our Gemara will come back to, is b'chol yom. How do you translate b'chol yom? Every day. Does that mean like most day? It's every day. Good. There were 21 tikkios b'mikdash. Now, I don't know. The truth of the matter is, when it says b'chol yom, there were 21 in the mikdash, does that mean there were... That's not really true, right? There were at least 21 every day. But, you know, there were more on other days. But when there were 21, there were shalosh l'psichas sha'arim, 3 when they opened the doors to the mikdash. If it's really hot in here, we should open a window or a door or both or whatever. So both Tamidin, each one of them had 9 shofar blasts that accompanied the Korban Tamid. The Mishnah doesn't describe exactly how or when, but for our purposes, there were 9 associated with each Korban. So that's 9 plus 9 plus 3. So that gets us to the minimum of 21 on a typical day. 3 to open the doors of the Beis HaMikdash. Da-da-da-da! You know, Beis HaMikdash is open for business. And then 9 for the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, and 9 for the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. Okay, that's a typical day. When there were Musafin, there were an additional 9. So just like a regular Korban Tamid had 9 associated with it, the additional Korbanos, Korban Musafin, also had 9 associated with them as well. So if there is one Musaf, you've got 9 more. So you're up to 30. Uba Erev Shabbos, Hayimosifin Sheish. There were an extra 6 if the day happened to be Erev Shabbos, where there was a Musaf. There were an additional 6 because, as the Mishnah describes, 3 to warn people, sort of like our 18 minutes, you know? 3 to warn people, Shabbos is coming, get ready, stop, close your doors and your businesses. And then 3 when it was right before Shabbos, to actually say, okay, it's about to be Shabbos. That's another 6. That would be 36, let's say, on a day that was Erev Shabbos that was also had a Korban Musaf, Shchodesh, or whatever. Erev Shabbos Shabbosaych HaChag, this is what our Gemara is going to focus on. If it's an Erev Shabbos in the middle of Yom Tov, now it sure sounds like we're talking about the middle of Yom Tov over here. So, okay, so Shabbosaych HaChag, it's Chol HaMoed. Well, in any case, Hayusham Arboim Mushmoin. There were 48. Now the Mishnah wants to describe exactly how that works. Shalosh l'psichas sha'arim, 3 because they opened the gates. It's Erev Shabbos, they opened the gates that morning. Okay, that's normal, like any normal day. But chol yom. Shalosh l'shar ha'elyam, shalosh l'shar ha'tachtayim. Since we're not talking about any Yom Tov, we're talking about specifically Sukkos. We're, after all, learning Masechta Sukkah. So, there were 3 for the shar ha'elyam, the upper gate, when they would go out to draw the water. And there were 3 for the shar tachtoin for drawing of the water, so that's an additional 6. The shalosh miliyomayim, another 3 when they would actually draw the water, so we have an additional 9. The shalosh gabei hamizbeach, 3 on top of the mizbeach. Now, did Rashi in the Mishnah say what that meant? So Rashi's lashon here is ligabei, but you'll notice that, did you see where this is? It's the last Rashi there before the Gemara and Lamed Gimel Beis, Anun Gimel Beis. So Rashi says, Kisha Zoik Fenesa Araba. So this is not referring to what we might have assumed, the pouring of the water. This is referring to leaning up the Arabas on the Mizbeach. As Rashi says, we saw earlier on Memhe Amad Aleph, Utikatim Trua. You blow a Trua when you do that. Alma Trua Hanyu Tekiah, Okay, then Rashi goes farther. But the point is that there were an additional three blasts when they leaned the Aravis on the Mizbeach as well. So we have an additional nine for the water, and then another three, so you got 12 already. Teishatam Shashachar, Teishatam Shabbarabayim, Teishatam Musafin, etc., etc., and since it's Erev Shabbos, is also the Havdalis, so therefore you have a total of 48. So that's the Mishnah. Gemara on Nundalim and Aleph quotes Erev Shabbos v'zaychachar, when it's Erev Shabbos in the middle of Sukkis. V'ilu l'mala seriously katani. Now, there's something strange about this Mishnah, because it left something out. Because this Mishnah, and it does, it details every single time they blew so that you'll know how to figure out the 48. There's something missing. Because earlier in the Masechta, the previous Mishnah, so we learned that there was another blast of the Shofar, Tkiyat Drua Tkiyah, when they got to the 10th step. Now, if you remember, the Gemara with its thumb tried to figure out what's the 10th step. Is it 10 steps down, or is it the 10th step up and only 5 steps down? Okay, teku, whatever, Elionov, you'll resolve that for us whenever it becomes no gale on Isa. But that was a fact that there was another blowing of Tkiyat Drua Tkiyah, another 3, when they got to the 10th step. What happened to that one? Good question, no? V'ilu l'mala seriously katani. The Mishnah doesn't teach us the 10th step blasting. Masnisin money. The Mishnah is worth money. Just want to see if anybody's awake. Money. Big money? Big money? Money means who, right? Masnisin money. Our Mishnah is according to who? Who is our Mishnah? According to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who apparently disagreed with blowing of the shofar on the 10th step, right? That would be the point. That apparently he held that there was no blowing of the shofar on the 10th step, and our Mishnah is according to him, so that's why it left it out. This Tanya, as we learn in Braisa, Shalosh l'mala siris, and according to Tanakama, there are another 3 shofar blasts on the 10th step. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Aymer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Shalosh al gabay hamizbeach. Apparently disagreeing. There are 3 when you put the aravis on the mizbeach, and you lean them up on the mizbeach, and not on the 10th step. Explains the Gemara. Ha'omer l'mala asiris, the one who says, who holds, that you blow the shofar blast when they get to the 10th step, eino emer al gabay hamizbeach, does not say that there is tkiyah tru tkiyah, another 3, al gabay hamizbeach, or li gabay hamizbeach, that when you lean the aravis up on the mizbeach, he holds, no, it's only one or the other. Ha'omer al gabay hamizbeach, the one who holds, that when you lean the aravis, you blow the shofar, tkiyah tru tkiyah, eino emer l'mala asiris, he holds, you do not blow the shofar when they get to the 10th step. My time at Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Why is it that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you should blow shofar when you lean up the aravis and not when they get to the 10th step? Since they already blew shofar for the opening of the gates, lamala siris lamali. Why didn't they blow it again when he gets to the 10th step? I mean, you have to wonder, right? I mean, what's the significance of them getting to the 10th step? I mean, a gate is like, dun, 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 welcome, look who's here, the gate's open, and in come the choir. Like, you know, okay, we got it, right? I mean, you can, it's a part of the drawing of the water celebration, it's part of their, they've arrived. They've reached some new point in the ceremony. But what's the 10th step? Right?
Good.
Hi, Lav Sharu. Gave the Taka to the Psychal Sharim, says they already blew for the opening of the gates. Lamali, here's Lamali, Lamali the Taka. Why should they blow again? Halav Sharu, it's not a gate. Hilkach Gab Mizbeach Adif. Therefore, it's better to blow it when you are leaning the Aravis on top of the Mizbeach. Because that's some specific action. You know, like, wow, da 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 da, Aravis around the Mizbeach, da da da. It's something concrete, it's something he's finished, it is something. Rabbanan, so Taka. Not a shofar blast taka, but taka, what is the pshat if you hold, according to the Rabbanan, that you should blow when they get to the 10th step? Rabbanan savri, they hold, came to taka l'miliyam ayim. Since they blew shofar for the filling up of the water, shofta mayim besasoin, that's what this is all about, filling up of the water. Al gabi mizbeach lamali. Why would they blow shofar when you lean the aravis on the mizbeach? It's not related. leaning up the Aravis may be some other inyan, but it has nothing to do with Shavtemayim Besasain, nothing to do with the drawing of the water, Simchas Pesach Shoeva, that we're celebrating. What does that have to do with anything? Why would you decide to blow Shofar when you lean up the Aravis? We're doing, it's all about the water! Hilkach Lamala Asiris Adiv, therefore it's better to blow Shofar on the 10th step. And now everyone's satisfied, but nobody has any idea what's the significance of the 10th step. Huh? So what do you say, guys? Some suggestions? Some thoughts? 10? Is there significance to 10? And what's left after 10, by the way?
5.
So the truth of the matter is, if they're going to the 10th step, and then they're going 5 more steps, in effect what you've done is you've divided between 10 and 5. Why would anyone want to make a statement that there's 10 and then there's 5? What's wrong with 15?
What's wrong with 7 and 8?
Because 7, 8, 9. That's scary. 7 is a scary number because 7, 8, 9. You're like a bully or a cannibal or something. So, the Marsha basically says something along these lines. The reason why one would want to make a statement in the process of Simchas Pesach Shoeva, of the Milui HaMayim, of the Nisuch HaMayim, is because, not that this is going to fully answer, but at least let's start on the pathway. There was another place in the Mishnah that we mentioned 10 and 5. There was something that the Kohanim said when they were leaving to draw the water. Do you remember? They were facing which direction to leave the Beis HaMikdash? Which direction were they facing?
West.
East. They were facing east.
Not the back.
And they
turn around.
They did the hokey pokey.
East, and their fronts face west.
And what did they say? With their faces now facing west. Okay. Our ancestors turned towards the east, and they did Avodah Zarah. But us, who can find the phrase? Who can find it? But us what?
We will not.
No, what was the phrase that they said? Can someone find it for me? It was in the Mishnah. Not this previous one, written before. Yeah, what does it say?
You'll have it in the second.
Somebody find it, come on.
Before the Mishnah, Anu, Le,
Yud, and Hey, Anu Leka. It's Hashem's name. So what did they say? Anu Le, and yeah, that was the whole phrase. Read the whole phrase. It's Hashem's name, Yud and Hey. So what is this? We'll call it Ka. Yeah. They bowed to the east, to the sun. Because that represents the power of the sun when it's rising. And we are to Yud and Hey, to Hashem. And our eyes are to Hashem, to Yud and Hey. Isn't it interesting that they chose Hashem's name, which is Yud and Hey? Is Hashem's name Yud and Hey? Is that one of Hashem's names?
Yeah.
I thought Hashem's name was Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey.
There's more than one.
Does anybody know where in the world there's a source that Hashem's name is really Yud and Hey? In the Torah itself.
Bishalach.
In Bishalach. What's the name Bishalach? That when Amalek attacked Bnei Yisrael, there's a statement over there that what does it say? Kiyad, it starts with key, right? Kiyad, because Amalek's hand is al case ka. Two words that are missing the end of the word. Case is not a word. Chaf samach is not a word. What's the word?
Kise.
How do you spell kise? Chaf samach aleph. Kise. But it doesn't say kise. It says because Amalek's hand is on the case. Justin, case. It's just on the case of ka. So both Hashem's name and Hashem's kisei, Hashem's throne, are missing the last letter or the last two letters. Because as long as Amalek is around, Hashem's complete throne is not here. Its throne is incomplete, and his name is incomplete. And as long as Amalek, as long as we're living in the reality that we live. In the times even of the first Beis HaMikdash, Amalek was not completely destroyed. That's one of the things that had to happen, and ultimately will in times of Mashiach. But until that happens, there's a lacking. It's a chisaron and the kisei and the shame of Hashem. Yeah? Yeah?
So there's a lacking in when the Beis HaMikdash
is around? Yeah, well, the first Beis HaMikdash, yeah. So, lekah means to the beginning of the fulfillment of Hashem, but it's still lacking, it's still missing. So what step did they blow shofar on according to the Rabbanon of the 15 steps? The 10th, because the 10th is what letter?
Yud.
And then they walked down another 5, because 5 is what letter? Hey. So here is a remez again in the Nisuch HaMayim to the shame of Hashem of Yud and Hey, which apparently is a statement that Hashem's name is not complete. And when is the completion of all this, by the way? When is all of this Nisuch HaMayim business finished? On what day of Sukkot? What does this all finish?
Shmi.
On the last day, right? Which we call Hoshana Rabbah, right? It's the day of the great Arava, because Rabbah indicates Chesed, it indicates Hashem's name of Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. Anybody want to take a guess what day of the month Hoshana Rabbah comes out on?
21st.
Someone, can someone figure it out? What day of Tishrei is Yom Kippur?
10.
Okay. How many days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot?
4.
So Sukkot starts on the
15th.
The 15th, right? The 15th. The night after the 14th, meaning the 15th on the Jewish calendar. So the 15th Sukkot starts. So when does Sukkot end? When's Hoshana Rabbah? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. The seventh day is the 21st. What? Okay, I'm so sorry. So we worked out. 21st. When was the world created? Be careful. Be careful with this one. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the creation? What's Rosh Hashanah? Who was created on Rosh Hashanah? Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah, right? So Adam was created on what day?
Sixth.
Seven. Same day as the animals?
Yes.
Because if he doesn't do anything with himself, he's no different than the animals. But he does something with himself, then he's an Adam. Created on the sixth day. So how many days were there before Adam?
Six.
So that means that the world was created on what day, so to speak?
24.
Well, if it's 30 days, right? Assuming Elul is 30 days on the 25th. But either way, whatever it is. So there were 5 days before Tishrei, right? So 21 plus 5. So Hoshana Rabbah is what day after creation?
26.
The 26th day after creation. What is the gematria of Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey?
26.
Because Hoshana Rabbah, with the completion of Nisuch HaMayim, is the completion of putting together Hashem's name, you know, in Yirtz Hashem, you know, that's what we dream for, with its completion and its totality. That the 26th is called Hoshana Rabbah, because we dream, we hope, that that'll be the completion of Hashem's name, ultimately on the 26th day after the Bria, with it won't just be Yud and Hey, but it'll be Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. So that's why the Rabbanan say that there is a reason to stop on the 10th step. You're right, it's not a gate. But the meaning behind it is that it's a demonstration of we're working on completing Hashem's name in this world, because so far it is incomplete. It's only Yud and Hey. Mistama, there's significance to this teku the Gemara had before about whether or not you do the Hey first or the Yud first. You know what I mean? The Gemara had a machlokes. Is it the 10th step or 10 steps down? Is it the 5th step or the 10th step that it stop on? Which means, how do you look at the Yud and the Hey? Are we approaching it forwards or are we approaching it backwards? Which must have a meaning there also, how to look at it, what we're trying to do and how we're viewing it or whatever. But okay. So that's this part of the Gemara. Ki asa Rav Acha bar Chanina. Okay, so wait, where are we holding in the Gemara? So the Gemara said, I don't understand what happened to the additional shofar blasts of the 10th step. The Gemara says, oh, because this Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Zvi Yaakov, who holds that they didn't exist. You don't blow them on the 10th step. That's the Shita of the Rabbanan, but that was a machlokas. He holds that you blow the shofar three times, three blasts, tkiah to a tkiah, by the what? Leaning of the aravos on the mizbeach. And the Rabbanan reject that, because like, what does that do with Nizuch HaMayim? And he says to them, what does the 10th step have to do with anything? And, you know, they didn't tell him my word. He didn't like my word. I don't know. Anyway, so, Ki aser v'acha bar chanina midiroyma, when he came from the, what's Darom again?
South.
He came from the south. What was he doing in the south? I don't know. I see ma'asnisa biyadeh. He came with the brisa in his hands. I don't know. I thought it was Tarshav al-Peh, but I guess he had it in his hand. That was just a bad joke. And the B'nai Aaron, Pasuk says, they will blow with the Chatzoytzeris. Shein tamen lomer yisko, shikvar nemerot, kam bekatzoytzeris, al yisiyam al zirchei shal meichem. That the Pasuk says they already blew at the appropriate time on the oila and the zebach. It says already they blew shofar. What are they blowing shofar again for? Matam al yisko, hakol afiyah musafin toike in. All of it, lefi, according to the musafin token they would blow. This brisa doesn't make any sense so far, right? It's just a lot of words. It's hard to understand what's going on over here. So the brisa says, let's read it through one more time. The pasuk says, B'nei Aaron HaKohanim Yizku B'Chatzoytzeris. That's one quote from the pasuk. B'nei Aaron, the Kohanim, would blow from the Chatzoytzeris. Okay, when, where? I mean, is this another one from what we know until now? Shein Tamad Lemer Yizku. You don't need to tell me that they blow in general. Shekvar Nemar, because the pasuk already says, again, this is a quote now. Whenever you bring a korban, you blow the shofar blasts. So what's this new blowing of the chatzoytzeris of B'nai Aaron? What's going on? He said it already. You don't have to say it again. So the Braisa, so to speak, explains very cryptically, Hakol lefia musafin toike in. It all goes according to the musafin. What's the answer? What's the answer? So the Gemara says, Hu tanila. This fellow, what was his name again? Of Acha Bar Chanina, he taught this brisa that he got in his hand from the south. V'hu Omar La, and he explained it. He said it over him. He explained it. Loimar, as if to say, what it means to say is Shetoike in al kol musaf u musaf. That there was a blast, there was a blowing of the shofar on each and every musaf. So in other words, had you only had the first pasuk on the oil, on the zevach, so maybe you'll say you won't have to blow shofar once, no matter how many musafin you're bringing. The reason it's repeated is to tell you that each and every musaf gets its own blowing of the shofar. Okay? What does that have to do with us? Tonight. We learned in our Mishnah, Erev Shabbos, Shabbos HaChag. Erev Shabbos in the middle of Sukkis, Hayusham Memches. There were 48 blasts of the shofar, and if you remember, we went through today already, the Mishnah lists them. V'im Isa, and if you're right, that you blow separate shofar blasts on each korban musaf, listening Shabbos Shabbosaychachak, you should have said that Shabbos in the middle of Sukkot is mashkachas lechamish and v'chaat. You'll find 51, not 48. Now, why are there 51? So the cheshbon basically is. But what's the problem? The problem is, where do you get the 50? On the korbanos, you blow 9, not 3. On the opening of the gates, you blow 3, right? But on the korbanos, we said that there's 9. There's 9 on the tamid, there's 9 on the tamid, there's 9 on the musaf. So there are always 9 on each korban. So how do you get from 48 to 51? You're only adding 3. Yeah? So that means that apparently we're taking some away to get to 51. So what does that mean? So the answer is, in the example of Erev Shabbos in the middle of Sukkis, you're not going to blow, according to this, the 6 tekiyos of Kabbalah Shabbos. Why not? We're assuming it's on Yom Tov. But that's the idea, that 6 are being left off. The ones that are to be mavdil everyone from malacha, maybe because they're not doing malacha, maybe call them out. I don't know why you're not having a 6 for Shabbos unless it's assuming that it's already Yom Tov, or it's Yom Tov that night. Okay, whatever it is. But those are the six being left off. So you add three and you get to 51. It's very hot in here, no?
Yes.
So why don't we open the door, we'll open the window, let's get some air flowing in here. So that's the question. So Gemara says, if you're going to argue, it has that little thing on the bottom of the door. You can just flip the door stopper. So open it all the way and just flip it down. There you go. Perfect. So how come the mission doesn't say they're 51? That's the question. There should have been 51. Because there are three more you have to leave off. Because you don't blow the three when you open the gates of the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Why don't you blow the three for opening the doors of the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos? So because that's not associated with any particular Avoda, so it's not necessary to blow them, and therefore it's a Zilzul Shabbos, so we leave out those three. Also, that's why it's only going to be 48. So just so we're on some level, I don't know, those of you that are not mathematicians and don't like math, I've already completely lost you. But just so we don't get totally lost, what's happening right now in the Gemara is that we're saying, we have an opinion that you have to blow 9 shofar blasts every time you bring a korban. That includes every musaf. So if you have more than one musaf, you're going to end up with more than one set of 9. So you should have ended up with more than 48, not 48. So how come the Mishnah said, Erev Shabbos, on Sukkot, you only have 48, you should have had more? The Gemara says, you're right, because we're leaving a whole bunch of them out. We're leaving out the ones that are to separate everyone from Malacha and warn everyone Shabbos is coming. And we're also leaving out another 3, which are the ones when the doors, when the gates of the Beis HaMikdash are opened to begin. So we're leaving out 9. Since we're leaving out 9, then the 9 of the extra additional Musaf are the ones that are being added. So it comes out to be 48 anyway. But it's not the ones listed in the Mishnah. The Mishnah spelled out the 48. And it spelled out the 48, 3 for opening the gates and 6 for Erev Shabbos. So it's not, you're right, the numbers come out the same, but it's not the same ones that are on the list of the Mishnah. So Rabbi Zeir said, "Lefish ain't toikin of psikas sharim b'Shabbos, because you leave out the additional 3, and so it's really the same number. You end up with 48 either way." Amar Rava, man ha delechash lekimcha. Who is the one that doesn't care about flour? It's a great non sequitur, right? Next time someone says something to you that seems like sketchy, and he's like sort of like not being precise, just ask him, who's the one that doesn't care about flour? And see what he says to you. What does it mean? So, I was actually just listening to a shir this morning on the way into yeshiva, and somebody said to Rav Moshe Shapiro, this time of year that we find ourselves in is Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer goes from an offering of barley, right? The Omer on the second day of Pesach was barley, and counts until what? The Shtei HaLechem, the Korban of Shavuos. What was the Korban of Shavuos made out of? What was the grain? Wheat. Barley is food for animals. Just look at the way people eat challah. And wheat is food for people. Just look at the way people eat challah. So we're going from barley to wheat. And Chazal make this statement. Because, by the way, the Korban of Asota is also comes from barley. It's like an exception to the rule. But in any case, that barley is considered to be animal fodder and wheat is considered to be people food. So we're going from Pesach, where a person that has no Torah is a free animal, but he has no Torah. The way to become a mensch is only through the Torah. The only way to beat your Yetzara, so the Gemara Kiddushin we learned last year, is through Torah. So someone asked for Moshe Shapiro Zichron Livracha, so wait a minute. Nowadays, everyone says that whole wheat is the way to go. But the Gemara, Chazal all over the place, Soiles, the Torah itself talks about the finely sifted flour, that's all supposed to be the perfect food for people. Once it has all these other things in it, it's like, I don't know, barley, but it's like, the Gemara considers it like animal food. It's not food for people. You don't eat whole wheat with pieces of this other chaff and whatever else is grinded in there. That's not for people. So apparently Rosh Hashanah responded, that was because that's when people used to be human. Anyway, who's the one that doesn't care for kemach, for flour? So what does kemach refer to? Finely sifted, nice white flour. I don't know if it was bleached, but it was sifted so that it was all just this very soft flour. It didn't have any impurities in it. It didn't have any chaff. It didn't have any, it wasn't whole wheat, you know? He's like, what's with you? You're going to argue that the Mishnah has 48 because it's the same number? But the list in the Mishnah isn't what you're listing. That's not precise. Who's the one that doesn't care about flour, right? So you got it? So next time someone's imprecise, you just tell them, you don't care about flour? What? Come on, precision, man, precision. The Bechol Yom Tanan. The Mishnah said, this is what I asked you in the beginning, if you remember, every day. Every day there were 21 blasts. What were the first three? Opening the gates. So you're going to answer, you're going to tell me that that was every day, but not really every day. It was only every day that wasn't Shabbos and Yom. What, are you serious? It says every day. And furthermore, inami ke hadadeninu, if also, or sort of like, even though that you're right, the numbers come out the same, it's 48. Listni Shabbos Shabbosaycha Gayusham Arba'im Mushmaina. Why don't you tell me that Shabbos that's in the middle of Sukkot are going to be 48, and you'll tell me the specifics of it. You'll tell me when they blew what. Because then you'll be able to teach me two things. Because you'll leave out the shofar blast on the 10th step. That way I know we paskin, right? The Mishnah is paskining. Like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And you'll teach me as well. Yes, halacha, that there are going to be 9 blasts associated with each korban musaf. So why didn't you do that? So the whole thing, you're totally off. That's obviously not what the Mishnah is saying. Ella Marava, rather Rav explained, the fish ain't taken the milui mayim b'Shabbos, the betzirei tuva, because in your case where it's Shabbos, you're missing a lot. The literal translation, the fish ain't taken the milui mayim b'Shabbos, because you don't blow shofar for the filling of the water on Shabbos. Right? You remember that the Mishnah before had told us that when it's Shabbos, the afternoon nisach hamayim, you do the same types of things, but you don't fill up the water. You're not going to go carry things in Rishus or Rabbim. You're not allowed to do that. So you have to fill up the water ahead of time and leave it in the Mikdash. And the Gemara says, that way it sits there overnight and has to be closed and covered so that it doesn't end up with any snake issues and the venom counters the water, not counters the water. Can you filter it, not filter it, remember? And then worst comes to worst, you can always get it from the Kior because that's not a problem of Lina, etc., etc. That's what we discussed in the past. So on Shabbos, there's no tekios for the anyone exiting Beis HaMikdash or coming in or filling in the water because it didn't happen. Because you didn't do that on Shabbos. So that example, that case is not in the Mishnah at all because you would be missing a lot less. You wouldn't end up even with 48. Betzire tuva. Betzire means less. Tuva means more. Less, more. Meaning there will be a lot less than 48. We're listening to me, Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yosef Shabbos. Well, I have an idea. If you're looking for the maximum, you should also teach in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yosef Shabbos. Because this Mishnah is discussing seemingly the maximum number because that's the context, based on because of the Milui Mayim, so it sounds like that's the most you would ever have. But the truth of the matter is, it's just giving you the maximum number that you ever have in terms of Tekiyah Shofar. So list Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yosef Shabbos. Why? Do'ika t'lasa musafin, because there are 3 korbanos musaf. Musaf to Rosh Hashanah, there's a regular Rosh Hashanah musaf because it's Rosh Hashanah. Musaf to Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Hashanah, by the way, is also what? It's also Rosh Chodesh, Tishrei. We don't usually think of it that way because it's the beginning of the year. But come on, you can't forget Tishrei. Tishrei is a month too. And musaf to Shabbos. And if it's also Shabbos, you'll have a korban musaf for Shabbos. So 9 times 3 is 27. Yeah? So that's going to end up with a lot extra. So Gemara says, Erev Shabbos, Shabbosoy Chachag, Itztarech Leilash Mu'inan. Can you realize, Rabbi Yaakov? The reason why we don't have Rosh Hashanah is because Itztarech Leilash Mu'inan, our Mishnah needs to teach us, wants to teach us, Can Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? That we pass him like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you don't blow shofar on 10th step. You blow when you lean up the aravas on the mizbeach. So it doesn't, you can't teach you Rosh Hashanah because we need to teach you this halacha in the context. Gemara says, come on. Atumika amar lisniha v'loy lisniha. Someone came along to say teach this one and don't teach this one? Is there a problem teaching both? Lisniha v'lisniha. Teach this one and teach this one. Okay. Tana v'shir. You win. The Mishnah is an example of what's called Tana v'shir. Tana means like to learn, to teach, right? And shir means leftovers. How do you say you go to Chassidei Shetish? What do they have? What do they give you?
Shirayim.
Tana v'shir. Shirayim. Leftovers. How do you know that it's Aser Daraisa to eat leftovers? You can tell this to your mother. How do you know you're not allowed to eat leftovers? Because the Torah says that when there's a korban, you have a certain amount of time, you're allowed to eat it. And after that, it's nicer. Nicer is actually Aser. You're not allowed to eat it. So you see from here, leftovers are prohibited from the Torah, and therefore your mother has to cook you fresh food, and she will throw you out of the house, justifiably. So the Tana Bashir means this Tana left something out. In other words, he's not trying to make a complete list. There were things left out. Okay, this is a structure, so let's just take 1 second to just discuss this. A lot of times, the Mishnayos have lists. Is a list an exhaustive list, or is it not an exhaustive list? So the rule, or the default, is that any time the Mishnah gives you a list, it is exhaustive. You assume that that is the list, and ain't nothing else. So if the Gemara says, this, and this are like this, it means that's it, and there is nothing else that is like that. In our Mishnah, that's what it seems to be doing. There is no less than 21 and no more than 48 shofar blasts. That's an exhaustive list. That's it. That's it. There is nothing more. We seem to have found something that's more. Rosh Hashanah, Chalias, Rosh Shabbos. We have 27 just karbanas. So Gemara says, you're right, you win. It must be that our Mishnah is a case of Tana Vishir. Despite the fact that it has what seems to be a concrete list, an exhaustive list, it is not exhaustive. Now, the only way that that's true is if there's more than one thing that's left off the list. If there's only one thing that's left off the list, that's not legit. There has to be at least two things not on this list. And then you can argue, okay, the Tana was not being exhaustive in his list. Are you with me on that? There has to be at least two things left off this list. Because, he wasn't being precise because he wasn't making an exhaustive list. But if there's one thing missing, it's the only thing not there, that's ridiculous. So the Gemara says, okay, it's a Tana v'shir, because the list of Rosh Hashanah, it should have been Rosh Hashanah, Shachalos, Shabbos, should have been on the list. And it's not. Okay, you're right. So he wasn't listing everything. 48 is not the max. There are other cases also. In order to do that, there must be not only one example of Rosh Hashanah, that's Shabbos, but there must be something else also that's not on the list. You with me on that? So that's the next question of the Gemara. My shir, what did he leave off? So before you heard what I just said as an introduction, you're going to say to me, Rosh Hashanah, that's Shabbos. What did he leave off? What he left off Rosh Hashanah, that's Shabbos. So that's why I said what I said. The Gemara is saying there must be something else left off of the list, that it should be a Tana v'shir. Yeah? Okay, so Gemara says, my shir, what else did he leave off of the list? The high shir, that this could be considered a Tana v'shir. The Gemara answers, shir Erev Pesach. He left off Erev Pesach. What? Why? What's Erev Pesach? Take a look at the top Rashi in the Dalem and Beis. Erev Pesach, sheyesh v'shchitas Pesach chav zayin tekiyos. In the shechting of Korban Pesach, there are 27 tekiyos. Wow. How do you get 27 tekiyos from shechting a Korban Pesach? Sheha Pesach neshchat b'shleisha kitos. So this is just a piece of information you should know, that the Mishnayos and Pesachim deal with this. That whenever Klal Yisrael, that's a lot of Jews, whenever they're coming to bring Korban Pesach, you can imagine this is quite a process. I mean, it's true that you eat the Korban Pesach in a chabura, but everyone's got to have how much, you know? How much do you have to eat a Korban Pesach? At least a kizayis. It's not considered eating anything less than a kizayis. That's a rule in Torah in general, yeah? So, you have to have a kizayis. So, I don't know how big your chabura is going to be, but, I mean, it can't be that big, right? Because everyone's got to eat a kizayis. So, how big is the biggest sheep? How many kizesim you think are in like the biggest sheep? What? For how many people?
I don't know. How many people do you think would actually have a carbon kizayis? It's generally for family, you know?
Yeah, but everyone has to have a kizayis.
I don't know, even which friends,
So I'm saying, but that's what I'm asking. How is the... In other words, what I'm trying to point out to you is how many people were bringing a korban, or say it differently. How many korbanos Pesach had to be shechted on Erev Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash? Everyone had to have a kizayis. So there were, millions? Thousands? There were a lot. There were a lot. So did you ever see any of these picture books where they have the kohanim like lined up? And everyone's passing blood one to the next with one hand and passing an empty container back with his other. I mean, this was, like, assembly line is not the right way to say it, but what's the right term? This was worked out with precision. I mean, this had to be like clockwork. So in any case, there were three groups that were allowed in at a time. The first group would come in, and then, and other things were going like this, like clockwork. That was one group. Okay, then everything was reset. They all left with their carbon, and they all went, home, to cook it, whatever they needed to do. In comes the second group, and again, boom, 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 shechting, collecting, pouring, pass back, like clockwork. In came the third group, and that was it. There were only three groups, and that was it. That took care of Klal Yisrael. So that's what Rashi is saying. The Pesach neshchad b'shloi shekitos. The Pesach was shechted in three groups. Kas, achar kas, group after group, kidamar mitame neshchad, like it speaks about in the parak, that's called tame neshchad, which of course, as in our parentheses here, is psachim, lef samach dalet amit al. Mechol kas, here's the reason why there were tekios. Every group read Hallel three times. So that's as long as it took, apparently. I don't know if they were speed readers or not speed readers, or that's pretty incredible. Maybe they sang Karlbach tunes. I'm not sure. But they said Hallel three times. Shayu Pisrei Merubin, because there were a lot of Korbanos Pesach. The Hayu Tu'un in Hallel B'Shchitasa. And you have to sing Hallel when you shecht your Korban Pesach. That's Halacha. Love him, I speak in the Shchib Sreim, Kolkas, Kolkas, Achi, Grunishol, Shpamim. And it took three times to shecht all of them. So that's just how long it took. Even though they never really said it three full times, that was the third time. It was never completed in the third group. But certainly each group for sure finished at least two times, etc., etc. So because of that, they blew tekios along with the Hallel. So Rashi the end says, so whenever they would begin Hallel, they would begin with tekios, and so therefore there ended up being a total of 27 tekios in the Shchitas Pesach. Fine. So back to the Gemara. Imish Erev HaPesach. If that's your example, is that the Tana obviously left out Erev Pesach, but when due to all of the Hallels that were being said, there was going to be a lot more tekios. Lav Shiyurahu. That doesn't count as leaving something off the list. Why? The Hamani, because who is it according to? Rabbi Yehuda he. Rabbi Yehuda. What do you mean? The Amr Mimeyam shall cast shlishes like Gialoim Rahabdi Giyishma Hashem. Then in all the days of these three groups, so they never got to a Hafti Ki Yishma on the third time around. Because certainly, at least in the third group that came into Shech, there weren't that many people left in the third group. So what? And Okimna, what's the Girsa over here? Reha Amrit Reisha. And we already said about the Reisha of the Mishnah, the Loki Rabbi Yehuda. Why, where do we say it's not like Rabbi Yehuda? Do you remember? Rabbi Yehuda was the one that held 7 and 16. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda because we hold 21 and 48. You with me? Whether it's considered to be one mitzvah or three mitzvahs. So we don't possibly like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda was the one that said they never got the Hafti. So what? But our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So that doesn't answer it. In other words, Shagavataria. If you're going to say that it's a ton of a shiur, you should have had Erev Pesach there. Why isn't Erev Pesach there? There were a lot more tekios. Gemara says, because our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda held there weren't going to be that many tekios because he held the third group, they never got even to Bahafti, so there were less tekios. Gemara says, that's not a valid answer because our mission is not Rabbi Yehuda. We just finished saying Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that there are only 7 and 16, not 21 and 48. So the mission is not Rabbi Yehuda. So you can't, that doesn't work. Therefore, it is a town of Ishir. Where it says, maybe it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds 7 and 16. But this is a totally different opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and one thing has nothing to do with the other. Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, before we explain the Gemara, you know, sometimes a rabbi will say something in one area of Torah, and I'll say something else in another area of Torah. And someone will give you a hard time, like, oh yeah, like you hold by Rav Moshe on everything, you know? Like, when you hold by Rav Moshe's Chumra, you can hold by Rav Moshe's Kula. Like, okay, that's a true statement. Sometimes people pick and choose when it comes to paskening shilas. You know what I mean? People pick and choose. But nonetheless, it's also legit to say that one issue has nothing to do with another issue. This issue is an issue where I hold the way, and I don't have to hold like Rabbi Yehuda in everything. I don't have to hold the Bayer Moshe in everything, because it's a separate issue. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that you're right. The Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda in what area? In the sense that we count the tekios separately. They're 21, not 7. But the other issue of Rabbi Yehuda, whether or not there were 27 blasts of shofar or not, that's a separate issue. What's a separate issue? How exactly they blew shofar, or how many times they got to it. So maybe our Tana holds like Rabbi Yehuda vis-a-vis Korban Pesach, but doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda vis-a-vis how to evaluate the numbers. Is it one mitzvah or is it three? That's possible. So if that's true, so it comes out that it's not the Tana of Ishir anymore, because you could work out that that the Korban Pesach could totally fit in to our Mishnah, and it doesn't have to be any more than our Mishnah RV discusses. So it could go either way. That's what the Gemara says. He can't prove a ton of a shear from that. Elamai shear, the high shear. So then what else did he leave out other than Erev Shabbos, that is Rosh Hashanah? Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Shear Erev HaPesach Shechal Yosbe Erev Shabbos. He left out Erev Pesach, which has a lot of additional shofar blasts. That's Chal on Erev Shabbos. So Erev Pesach is Erev Shabbos. Apik Shis, Va'ayil Shis. So then we're going to take out 6 and add 6. What is that referring to? Which are the 6? You take out 6 tekios because according to Rabbi Yehuda, they didn't blow the last 6 blasts of Hallel because they never got to it. But you're going to add on 6, which is the kios of Erev Shabbos. Everyone stop working, and everyone it's about to become Shabbos. And there you end up with a grand total of 48. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Erev Shabbos, you'll end up with 48. So how come the Mishnah never listed that one? The answer is because this list is not exhaustive. There are at least 2 other examples of 48. Namely, Rosh Hashanah, Shechal Yos, B'Shabbos, and Erev Pesach, Shechal Yos, B'Erev Shabbos. Okay, take a 3-minute break, and we will learn some halakha.